Welcome to the How I Scaled Service podcast. I'm Caitlin Strempel, founder and CEO of Rising Ranks Digital. We help service-based businesses get to the top of their industry by getting found online. We believe that you have a message that someone needs to hear, and that message can impact the world. Are you interested in becoming our next podcast guest? Stick around to the end and we'll tell you how you can do just that. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to How I Scale Service Podcast. I am your host, Genesis Amaris Kemp, and today we will be chatting with Michelle Seiler Tucker. So welcome, Michelle.
Thanks, Genesis. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Let's start off by telling the listeners who you are, the name of your business, and where you're located.
I'm Michelle Seiler Tucker. Name of my business is Seiler Tucker Incorporated. Name of one of my businesses. I own multiple companies in different verticals. I'm a mergers and acquisitions master intermediary. I'm located in New Orleans now from Long Beach, California. But it doesn't really matter where I'm located because I sell businesses all over the United States and other countries as well.
Nice. So you are very versatile and in a little bit of everything, it sounds like. So what led you to being an entrepreneur and getting into the industry that you're in, and not just being an entrepreneur, but being a successful woman business owner?
So I've always been an entrepreneur. I mean, even as a little girl, I knew that I was going to be my own boss because I don't like being told what to do. It's my biggest pet peeve. Don't tell me what to do. And so I've always started small businesses. I've owned many different companies. What led me into M&A really is I used to have a franchise sales, franchise development, franchise consulting company. And I had so many buyers asking for existing businesses. I'm like, no, we only have startup franchises. And then I'm like, why do I keep saying no? I need to go ahead and start an M&A firm. And really, that's what I did a little over 20 years ago.
Okay. So Michelle, so I want you to kind of dig deep with this question and speak to someone who is interested in being a buyer, starting their own franchise, or going into the mergers and acquisition space, but they're just not sure where to get started.
So those are a lot of different points and there are different answers. Somebody who's working, who has a position, who is trying to do a startup is one thing. Someone who's working in a company is trying to buy a business is a different thing. So I'll answer the one about starting first. Make sense?
Yeah, that makes
sense.
So
the one about starting your own business first, I really strongly encourage business owners encourage first-time buyers to buy a business versus starting a business unless you have something really, really unique. What I mean by that is there's been so many people leave their jobs and go start a coffee shop or ice cream store or dry cleaners or a restaurant. And that's not always the best thing to do because there's probably already a lot of coffee shops, already a lot of restaurants, already ice cream stores, and I want you to be successful. So if you don't have a unique concept, something that's different, something that's unique, something that's solving problems, then I encourage you to buy an existing business versus starting one. If you do have something that's unique, make sure you do your due diligence. Make sure that you have enough working capital to survive. Make sure you align yourself with an expert that can help you along the way. As far as buying a business, I strongly suggest that you, depending upon what size of business you're going to buy, business brokers sell small businesses, restaurants, ice cream stores, coffee shops, retail, et cetera. Align yourself with a good business broker that has a great track record because most of these businesses will be listed with brokers. If you're looking at buying a larger business, then you need to align yourself with an M&A expert that can help you find a larger business that meets all of your buying criteria. Does that answer your questions?
Yeah, it does. Thank you so much for answering that because you really broke it down there. And that brings me to the next question. So what is your mission statement and is your passion tied to your mission?
Yes, and that's a great question. My mission statement has changed over the years. And the reason for that is because when I wrote my very first book titled Sell Your Business for More Than It's Worth in 2013, I did the research and learned that 95% of all startups would fail within those 1 to 5 years. And a lot of that is because people are starting businesses that the market already has a tremendous amount of. You know, we already have a lot of restaurants or ice cream stores, et cetera. However, when I did my research for Exit Rich, I learned that the business landscape has flip-flopped dramatically. And now businesses, startups only have a 30% chance of failure, only a 30%. So this is a great time to start businesses if you have a unique concept. As far as businesses going, as far as the business landscape changing dramatically, 27.6 million businesses, those businesses that have been in business for 10 years or longer, 70% of those businesses will go out of business. 70%. Isn't that startling? That's a startling statistic. So you hear about the big public companies all the time in the media, like Toys R Us in business 75 years goes out. Kmart, Giant Mart, Pier 1. I love Pier 1. Godiva, our favorite chocolate company, is closing down 1,500 locations. The Disney store is closing up all of their locations. GNC is closing 900 locations. So it's frightening. But you know what the media is not talking about? Genesis. I almost called you genius. I could call you genius. What the media is not talking about, all the private businesses on every street corner in every state across our great nation. These business owners are exiting poor. They're selling for pennies on the dollar. Closing your businesses, or even worse, filing bankruptcy. And when you file bankruptcy, you don't just lose your business assets, you lose your personal assets too, because most business owners commingle their funds and they pierce that corporate veil. So you asked me, what is my mission statement? What is my passion? My mission statement is saving America's economy by saving one business at a time from going out of business. It is my passion to help entrepreneurs build that sustainable, scalable business so you can sell, maximize the value, exit rich, and finally enjoy the fruits of your labor. That's my passion. That's my mission.
And I love that's your passion and your mission, because I'm sure that it's tied into your purpose and why you were placed on the earth. But what sets you apart, Michelle, in comparison to maybe some of your competitors that are out here doing something similar?
Yeah, so a lot of stuff that sets me apart. Number one, I've been in this business almost a little over 20 years. Most of my competitors can't say that. Number two, I've personally sold over 500 companies. My firm altogether sold over 1,000. Most of my competitors can't say that. I also not just sell businesses, I partner with business owners, investing my money, expertise, resources to fix these businesses, to grow these businesses, to put them on a build to sell model so they don't end up going out of business and filing bankruptcy. My competitors can't say that. I buy businesses and flip them, helping saving the American economy. On average, I close 98% of all offers I write. Because I've owned multiple businesses in different verticals, I empathize with the business owner. I've made the tough decisions. I continue to make the tough decisions running and operating companies. So I've sold businesses. So I'm really empathetic, whereas many of my competitors have never even owned their own business before. Again, I close about 98% of all offers I write. And on average, I create typically a 20 to 40% higher selling price for my clients, sometimes even higher than that, because we have thousands upon thousands of buyers and we're able to create bidding wars and get a much higher price for our clients. And I know many of my competitors can't say that, don't do that. Also, we don't charge retainer fees and my competitors do.
Oh, that's really good, because that would have somebody at hello, not having to pay that retainer fee.
Maybe I should have started with that.
But right now, you know, the big buzzwords are DE&I, diversity, equity, and inclusion. So if you are setting yourself apart, how do you correlate with diversity, equity, and inclusion to just give yourself that competitive advantage, but also tap into that niche market where people are trying to reframe and really look at, okay, is my company diverse? Is it inclusive? Is it equitable? How can you articulate that to business owners as well as speak on it to where your business is at currently?
Well, you know, I think I'm probably just the poster child for that because I'm in an industry that's a 98% male dominated. When I first got into this industry, I walked into a convention. There was 3,000 men and I was the only female in there. So my industry's changed a little bit, but not by much. It was probably 100% male dominated then, and now it's probably 97, 98%. I speak at a lot of different events, and I still find that many of them that are ran by men are always really spotlighting the men instead of spotlighting women, and giving men priority speaking times and priority speaking engagements, and really promoting them on social media where there are women that belong to these different masterminds, because I belong to them, and they're not really promoting us. They're not spotlighting us. They're not giving us the same type of, great time to speak on stage.
Mm-hmm. So you definitely have to shake up the atmosphere because times are changing, and
are changing, but it shocks the heck out of me. There's so many of these men, sorry, men, are stuck in the old way of doing business. And it's just shocking because some of these masterminds are $25,000, $50,000, $100,000. And there are women that are paying these fees, but yet we're not treated as an equal.
Yeah, I can resonate. I spent 12 years in oil and gas, which is a male-dominated industry. So what obstacles and failures have you had to overcome to get to the incredible success that you've seen now? And the reason why I ask this is because sometimes people look at CEOs and people who are on these pedestals and they see where you are now, but they forget that you guys had an ugly start, or they forget that you're a human being just like they are. So I want you to talk specifically to that right now to let people know that, yes, I didn't just get here overnight. There was a lot of, maybe obstacles. There were some failures. There were slips, trips, and falls. Whatever you've been through, share those honest truths.
Sure. I don't know if we have enough time in the show to share all of them.
Oh, just pick maybe one or two that jump out.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've been an entrepreneur for longer than I've been in M&A. And I've had business failures. I've had bad investments. I mean, my husband and I invested in a company in South Africa and with some other investors. And I lost a lot of money. My husband lost a lot of money. He won't let me forget about it because it was my idea to do it. And, it had nothing to do with where the business was located. It had to do with the people we got involved with, and we just, I think none of us did enough due diligence. So we lost, I lost over $250,000 in that investment. There's been other investments that I've lost money in. As far as startups, as far as failures with my businesses, I haven't had any business failures, knock on wood. But, I've had struggles just like everybody else, and the struggles are real and the struggles are common. And the struggles are typically around the infrastructure that I talk about in my book, Exit Rich, around the 6 P's. And then the biggest struggle is people, trying to get the right people in the right seats, trying to focus on your strengths and hire the weaknesses. And you think you got good people and, people are people. They'll surprise you just when you think you got some of the right people in the right positions. And then they're like, they surprise you. They shock the heck out of you. So I've had lots of struggles like that. Even entering in this space that was male dominated, I didn't let that really bother me. But there's been times where I've listened to attorneys and asked for their feedback on a closing, and they completely set me up for failure. I mean, one of my very first closings, the landlord was in Europe. And I'm like, well, we can't close it out of lease. And the attorney's like, sure you can. You can do this and this and this and this as long as everybody signs off on it. And I'm like, great. We go to the closing table. The attorney's there. Everybody signs all the documents. And they're like, where's the lease? I'm like, well, the attorneys, the landlords are in Europe. But the attorney said, we can do this and this and this. And the attorney said, no, I never said that. You don't know what you're doing. You can't close without a lease.
Oh, wow.
Completely threw me under the bus. And that was a male attorney. And I found out later that he was very upset that I was representing his client and not his friend, who was also an M&A advisor.
Mm.
So I've had a lot of situations like that. You know, I've had a lot of failures because my companies are failing that I'm selling. You know, I had one company that we were selling in the $30 to $50 million range, and he decides to completely sabotage his business. He decides to leave his wife while we're in the process of selling this company and marry his high school sweetheart while he still marries his wife. Then he forges documentation on workers' comp. And then they have a catastrophic event occur at one of their facilities. And then he's running his company without any workers' comp. He owned an industrial staffing business. So the $30 to $50 million company went into foreclosure, went into bankruptcy court. I lost, you know, all those offers. I got approved it as a stalking horse, luckily, because otherwise I don't charge retainer fees. So I would have worked for 3 years for free. And I ended up getting approved in the courts by a stalking horse and was able to sell the business for $1.2 million. So I got a little bit of money, but so much less than what I would have made. So a lot of my failures have come from other businesses' failures. Does that make sense? Business owners' failures.
That makes sense.
And a lot of it is self-sabotage.
And it goes into risk mitigation, doing due diligence, and just really understanding the people that are in the room with you, as well as the people who are outside the room who may, you know, control the seat at the table. Or, you know, sometimes whenever you're playing in a man's game, they tell you to play the game so you could get along. But it's like, I don't always want to play the game just to fit in. And I don't want to play to lose. I want to play to win.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, it's funny because they had lots of women representatives around him. But anyway, so those are some of my business failures, but I've had more.
Awesome.
You
know,
you don't succeed unless you fail.
Yep. So true. Some people say fail and fail fast and then learn and grow and pivot. So, and I appreciate you sharing that because it definitely puts things in context for the next question. So was there a specific turning point in your business or businesses, such as maybe a marketing tactic, connections, business decisions, et cetera, that took you from six figures to multiple six figures and higher?
Yes, it was. Absolutely. There were several pivoting points. I think number one was when I wrote my very first book in 2013 called Sell Your Business for More Than It's Worth. That was a huge pivoting moment because what I do is like the best kept secret. You know, buyers don't want to talk about the businesses they bought. Sellers don't want to talk about it because everything's confidential. Unless if it's not a public company and it's private companies we sell, it's all confidential. I can't disclose any of it without everybody's permission to do so in writing. And there's so many business owners that don't even know that mergers and acquisitions, There's us, there's M&A advisors, there's business brokers. So many business owners don't even know about us and who we are. And I think once I wrote that book, it opened up a lot of business owners' eyes. And they're like, oh, I don't have to hire a real estate agent to sell my business. Oh, I don't have to sell my business on my own. Also, when I spoke on stage for the very first time, I can't remember, it was around 2012, 2013. That was a pivotal moment as well, because there was probably about 800, 900 people in the audience, and I never spoke on stage before. And that really kind of catapulted my business to the next level, because then I started speaking on stage everywhere. And I started speaking on stage with from some really influential people like Eric Trump, Steve Wozniak. Oh my God, I can't think. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Donna Karen, Oprah's boyfriend, Stedman Graham, you know, some really powerful people. And Les Brown, Jack Canfield. And that kind of really pivoted me, or catapulted my business to the next level, because it's, you know, relationship capital.
Mm. Beautiful. So I would definitely bring this and say networking is key. Knowing your audience is another thing. And, you know, whenever you are really networking, that relationship building, and just making sure that it's a two-way street, because it should be mutually beneficial. And sometimes you have to pivot in order to get outside of the comfort zone and really expand your wings and soar like an eagle. Would you say that's a great summary?
1,000%. 1,000%. Because number one, when I went to speak on stage, I, you know, have friends that were encouraging me to speak, and I was scared to death. I was like, you know, when you're afraid of something and you've never done it before, oh my God, you could come up with so many stories to talk yourself out of doing something. And like, oh, this is gonna be awful. And I was telling my speaking coach, I'm like, I am not going to do this. I'm not, there's no reason for me to do this. And I walked away. And he goes, get over here. I'm going to drag you up on the stage by your hair. And I ended up doing it. And it was the best experience of my life. It was so liberating. I'm glad I did it. But if I didn't have my support team around me, I probably never would have done it. So I always say, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's the only way that you grow. You're either growing or dying. There's no in between. And your network equals your net worth.
Yes. So, so, so true. So now as we wind down, Michelle, I want you to tell the listeners the name of your business again, where they could connect with you on social media, and how they could personally connect with you if they want to just do like a discovery call or a coffee chat or whatever.
All right. So my main website is SylarTucker.com, SylarTucker.com. And all of my, everything's there. All my social media tags are there. My phone numbers are there. Everything is at SylarTucker.com. You can also email acquisitions@SylarTucker.com. And my team will advise me that someone's trying to get in touch with me. And then Exit Rich, let's talk a little bit about Exit Rich. Exit Rich was endorsed by Steve Forbes, who says, Exit Rich is a gold mine for entrepreneurs, as entrepreneurs leave way too much money on the table when they go to sell their business. Sharon Lecter, have you heard of Sharon Lecter?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Have you heard of a little book called Rich Dad Poor Dad?
Yes, by Robert Kiyosaki.
Robert Kiyosaki. Yeah. She was the co-author with Robert Kiyosaki and wrote 15 books, and one was called Exit Rich. So she's a New York Times bestselling author, and 5 times. She's also a CPA, financial literacy expert, the advisor to many different presidents, including President Obama. And she writes the Mentor's Corner after each one of our chapters. And then Kevin Harrington, the original shark on Shark Tank, wrote the foreword. Plus, we have glowing testimonials from Jack Canfield, from Chicken Soup for the Soul, Mark Victor Hansen, Brad Sugars from Action Coach, Les Brown. Everybody knows who Les Brown is, right? He doesn't even need an introduction. Brian Tracy, Tom Hopkins, et cetera. So Exit Rich, it's not just about selling your business. I want to make sure that your listeners know that. As Steve Forbes says, 80% of businesses on the market will never sell. That means only 20% are actually selling. That's pretty scary for business owners who are looking at their business as a retirement fund, as their nest egg. So Exit Rich is about building a business that buyers actually want to buy, building a business that buyers will actually pay you top dollar for, because a lot of business owners have created a glorified job in which they go to work at every day versus a business that works for them. That's why in Exit Rich, we help you build the infrastructure so your business is sustainable, you can scale it. And when you're ready, you can sell it for maximum value. So Exit Rich launches June 22nd. I'm not sure when this podcast is airing, but if it airs before June 22nd or on June 22nd, you can go to exitrichbook.com for $24.79, which is less than Amazon. We will email you the digital download immediately. We will ship the hardcover to your doorstep for no additional cost to anybody that lives inside the United States. And then we will give you a lifetime membership into the Exit Rich Book Club, where there's video content, me doing deep dives and different strategies and techniques that I've been teaching over the last 20 years in the trenches in M&A. And then also documents to operate your business, documents to sell your business, sample employee handbooks, policy and procedure manuals, SOP checklist, org charts, sample letter of intents. A lot of business owners have never even seen a letter of intent. A lot of business owners don't even know what that means.
LOI.
LOI. So say, well, I don't say LOI anymore because every time I say LOI, somebody says, what does that mean? So sample letter of intent, sample purchase agreements, due diligence checklist, closing docs, all of these documents to operate and sell your business are at the Exit Rich Book Club. And you can review them and download them. It would cost you over $50,000 if you try to recreate all these documents. Ooh. So it's a great value. Plus, we're giving you a 30-day free membership into Club CEOs, which is a mastermind where we ask, you know, those tough questions. We really do hot seats, Q&As. You can pick my brain so I can teach you how to pivot, because pivoting is the name of the game. And really be able to help you build that sustainable, scalable, and sellable asset. All for $24.79 at exitrichbook.com.
Awesome. So there you have it, listeners. Make sure you head on over and grab that information from Michelle Seiler Tucker before June 22nd if you want to get all these premium added bonuses. And once again, you just heard us on How I Scale Service Podcast. I'm your host, Genesis Amaris Kemp, and you just had the pleasure of listening to Michelle Seiler Tucker. Until we chat next time.
Caitlin here. Thank you so much for listening to the How I Scaled Service Podcast. If you're a business owner who has successfully scaled their business to multiple six figures or more, and you would like to be on this program, visit risingranksdigital.com/apply. And if you got something out of this interview, I would love for you to share it with your network. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on your social channels. If you know someone that would be a great guest, make sure to tag them to let them know about the show and include the hashtag #HowIScaledService. I love seeing your posts and your guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and truly mean a lot to my team and me. Want to stay in our world? Go to our website, risingranksdigital.com, or follow me on LinkedIn at Caitlin Strempel, Facebook at Rising Ranks Digital, and Instagram at Caitlin Strempel. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.